The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the Sato Karate On Air Dojo, your community karate club that has been part of the Nelson and the Top of the South for 50 years. Introducing hundreds of people to the benefits of Sato Karate through dojos located in Nelson, Stoke, Richmond, Motueka, Blenheim, and beyond. My name's Eric, and in our on-air dojo, I'll be talking with the people that have helped make it such a remarkable place to learn Sato Karate. Today, it's my privilege to be speaking with two senpai from the Nelson Dojo, Senpai Annalise and Senpai Riley. Welcome to you both.
Hi.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Oh, so it's good, eh? And also a very warm welcome to the Nelson Sato Karate Head Instructor, Seishan Aaron.
Osh, nice to be here with everybody.
Absolutely. Osh, welcome all. Senpai Annalise, if I can start with you, tell us about how you started in Sato Karate. What kicked you off on this journey?
So I believe it was recommended to us by a friend of my mother's. I think I started when I was about 9 years old, and I was quite an anxious kid. I really struggled with self-confidence, and I struggled in school and with making friends. Nice. And I think I needed, an outlet, and I needed something that would kind of help me get through that.
Mm.
So we tried karate, and I didn't really know what to expect. Again, I was 9 years old.
Yep.
And I don't really know what it is that drew me in.
Mm.
I think a big part of it was the first time I ever arrived at the dojo, and I was sitting outside too scared to go in and, train.
Yeah.
I was looking at Aiko Hanchi,
mm-hmm.
and I remember this very strong sense that he was a very warm, welcoming man who wanted to teach and had a passion for teaching,
mm-hmm.
was there, and I think that's what got me in there in the first place, and I just never really looked back. I never had my doubts about it. It was my thing. I clicked with it immediately.
Yeah. And so do you remember that first then step into the dojo? Do you remember the first teacher or the first class or couple of classes that you had?
Yeah, they were all Aiko Hanchi. And I remember just immediately he made me feel very welcomed.
Mm.
You pick up friends quite quickly in that kind of space.
Yeah.
Especially at that age, it's not that hard. You walk up to someone and go, "Do you want to be my friend?" And they're like, "Yes."
Yes.
So we had a lot of connections.
What happens to that as we get older? Can we say that?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't
know. We need to work on that as adults.
Yes, we do. And Senpai Riley, how was it for you? What started your journey in Sato Karate?
I was 6 or 7 when I started, I think. It was just looking for sort of an after-school activity for my parents, I think, just to get me into something.
Yes.
And I think I tried a couple things at the time, but went to karate and did one of the super kids classes with Aiko Hanchi, and that was it. I sort of did the one and knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Mm.
So obviously kept going along to that and just one or two of the super kids classes a week, but a lot of fun for me at that age. It was obviously something I hadn't done before.
Yeah,
getting 6 or 7, getting to stand there and throw some punches and stuff. But different, and I quite enjoyed it at that age.
Don't forget the ki as well. Probably that was something quite liberating and maybe a little bit challenging to start with. Do you remember?
Yep, I definitely remember. I couldn't bring myself to start just yelling, you know, inside. It felt so weird.
Yeah.
And then I think once I got over the initial hurdle, it was actually it's very cathartic, thing to be able to do that.
Yeah. I know, absolutely. I give it, when I'm in class, I sort of give it the full blast because it does provide a good focus. And for yourself also, Senpai Riley, that's the same?
Yeah, that's something I do remember from when I was younger. I remember being in there and probably a lot of us kids weren't carrying that loud, but nervous.
Yeah.
Hadn't had a place that we could just yell before.
Yes.
But Akanchi was quite open. He let us do that.
Mm.
So I do remember him saying quite a bit, you can yell here. No one's going to hear. When I'm next, do I want to hear it?
Yes.
Stuff like that. So he made it feel quite easy to just get in there and let it out.
Yeah. And so how long have you now been training, Annalise?
I want to say 8 8 years. Yes, yeah. Started when I was about 9, so yeah.
Yeah.
About 8 years now.
And so now you're a senpai, so that's a black belt. And so what's something that keeps on bringing you back into the dojo?
Definitely the first thing that would come to mind is the community that I find there. I find the support that you find in the dojo is something that you don't find anywhere else. And it's always there for me.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't matter how long you're gone for. It is always something you have to come back to. And it's just an unwavering kind of sense of support.
Yeah.
I think something else that I find very helpful for me is that karate is often a reason to get out of bed, you know, when things aren't going so well or you're not feeling too good. It's a reason to get up and brush your hair and put on something that isn't pajamas and like and leave the house, you know, and you go and get to be with a bunch of people that, that care about you, that you care about, as well as getting to leave it all on the floor.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, and Senpai Riley, also a black belt now. So how long have you been? Quite a while.
Yeah, I think it's for the 13, 14 years now.
13, 14 years.
So the majority of my life.
And so what are some of the things when you think, you know, that keep on bringing you back?
Yeah, for sure. I think I sort of agree with Annalise on a lot of it. Like, even though I obviously keep coming to do karate for the karate aspect of it, the community's a big part of it too.
Nice.
Like, if I'm, you know, not there for a week or something and you get back, it's nice to be back with those people, training around the same people as much as the physical aspect of it brings me back too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Seishan, Aaron, also you'd have seen these karate car grow and seen some of the results and effort that they put in.
Yeah, both these two individuals, both very, very skilled karateka and good people, you know. And I think, as we've discussed on previous podcasts, with, you know, in the process of developing good humans, and these two are a very good example of that. From, you know, very, very young, coming through the SATA system and now passing that on to other children, which have both, Senpai Riley's had a major role in teaching children. Senpai Annalise helps me on a Thursday with children. So they're both giving back to our SATA community, which is bringing that next generation on, which is just fantastic. That's what we want.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things too, is it's you're not just learning about karate for yourself, but over time, and this that's my experience, is the amount of giving back that you do increases over time as well. And so now both of you are in sort of senpai teaching roles. And so how have you both found that?
It's definitely something that you have to learn. It's not even like, you know, learning your syllabus in the dojo. It's you've got to learn how to teach other people. And I don't even take on a main leadership role at this point. But I still find you've got to get used to explaining something, especially to young children, in a way that they understand it and in a way that keeps their attention because they have famously short attention spans. So, yeah, all eyes are on you. And I'm almost more afraid to mess up in front of a group of children than I am to in front of, you know, a group of black belts.
They can be pretty brutal, can't they?
They can be. So, yeah, no, it's been a new experience coming into this role and learning how to teach children. And it's something I still need to, you know, work on in a lot of areas. But it's really exciting and it's really great when you see a kid that you've helped and that you've coached rise up through the ranks and, you know, learn new stuff and you watch them blossom. It's a really nice feeling.
And Senpai Riley, your experience sort of reflects that a bit as well?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I started teaching kids probably a few years ago now, or a couple of years ago. And I didn't have too much of an assistant role before I took over an actual class. It was a small class of kids, but it's quite a good class, and it definitely does sort of test you. It's not something that just doing karate prepares you for. You have to understand everything sort of more than you'd expect, but also be able to teach it in a engaging way for the kids. Instead of just, you know, being able to stand there and, you know, you can know all the techniques and tell them what to do, but not exactly the best way to teach someone. So it did take a bit of practice.
So and how do you find then, you know, what you're learning and the teaching style that you have, what do you think has influenced that? You know, do you sort of think about maybe some of the things that Okohanshi, Andy, sort of hear in the back of your head, you know, don't give up, kia kaha, and say these things. What sort of things do you think have impacted your style and how does that come out in your teaching?
Wow. From Okohanshi specifically?
No, from anything.
From yeah. anything. Yeah. Well, when I'm teaching children specifically, I do find that I hear like Auntie's voice in the back of my head. And something big that I'm always telling the children that I always used to get told myself was to keep your chin up or keep your eyes up.
Yep.
And it's really common with the kids to, you know, be staring at their feet.
Mm.
And it's something you want to correct early on, not just because it makes their technique look better, but because you want to teach those kids to have confidence in themselves in all parts of their life.
Yes.
And I think that's something that I was taught quite early on, was that I needed to be more confident in myself. And that's something that I do carry with me when I'm teaching others as well. But yeah, no, I think teaching style is always a combination of seniors that came before you, what you've learned from them, and what you learn from them is a combination of what they learned from their seniors. And I just think that's really beautiful, you know, that it continues down like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well said. And Senpai Riley, what's happening in your style?
Yeah, I definitely think I picked up a lot of the sort of teaching ways from Eiko Hunchi and other, you know, other seniors that I learned from when I was younger. But I definitely, when I was teaching kids and sort of got a bit lost, I'd remember the things that I'd do in the kids' classes when Eiko Hunchi was teaching them. You know, a lot of the same games or just activities in between some of the karate that, you know, break it up a little bit and, you know, give them something else to think about. Also, just the way that he taught karate, I feel as a kid was pretty easy way to get a hang of. So, you know, when I was teaching something and it didn't seem like anyone was understanding, I'd try to remember the way that he taught me it. And that quite helped me to understand how the kids were going to learn and what the best way to teach them was.
And Seishan, Aaron, what voices sort of we have some young teachers here, and you've got a bit more experience. So, what are some of the learnings that you sort of feel yourself almost channeling through from past teachers?
Yeah, I suppose my influences have been predominantly my father, Eiko Hunchi. But I take on a lot of, like these senpais are taking, a lot of the experience that you've had yourself. Like, bearing in mind, I started when I was 7 or 8, or younger, really. So I'm taking on all those experiences that I've had as a child and coming through the ranks, and what I mainly try and concentrate on with the children is that you need to have good discipline, but we're also there to have fun. And you want them to have fun. You want them to go away with a smile on their face and feel like they've enjoyed something. They've worked hard, but they've enjoyed themselves. So I think from my influence on my teaching is just through my a lot of experience being on the floor and teaching a lot of children from a young age. As a junior black belt, Eiko put me and another young man straight into the teaching, and you sort of baptism of fire, really. You know, you sort of learn what didn't work, you know, and you learn what does work. And just through that time on the floor, you become up with a system that really nurtures the kids.
That's and I suppose in many ways, you know, there's nothing quite like just going ahead and doing it, and learning as you go. That's often experience is the best teacher in many respects.
Certainly, that's what I encourage these guys, Senpai Annalise and other, and Senpai Riley when he was instructing, is the only way to learn is just to get on the floor and do it. And you'll make mistakes. You know, you'll lose control of the children sometimes. They'll run right over you. But next time, hopefully, you won't do the same thing. And then you just keep learning and keeping improving from them. And these guys are a fine example of that.
I mean, the two of you have, Senpai, has very busy lives. You've got plenty going on, school, balancing work. So how do you find the lessons and learnings that you take on board within the dojo? How does that impact your life outside the dojo? Does it impact your life outside the dojo?
Yeah, for sure. It has. Karate has had a huge impact on my life outside of the dojo. It has taught me, you know, a lot about mindfulness and taking care of yourself and your mind. It's also taught me in a lot of ways that I can do hard things. You know, when I'm facing a challenge in life that is outside of the dojo, I can think back to all the times that I have challenged myself to do something within the dojo that has been hard, both, you know, mentally and physically. And I've gotten through it and I've come out of it feeling better. And, you know, with more experience and having learned something new. And I think that's a really important kind of message to carry with yourself, is that you can do hard things and that you will be better off for it.
Yeah, because, I mean, to reach black belt, that's a monumental achievement and something that I know carries a huge amount of respect within the dojo, because of the challenges that are put in front of you before you can become a senpai, a black belt.
That's a good point, Eric. Maybe we're here you touch on that a little bit about these senpais' shodan gradings themselves.
Of course.
And how significant, like you're saying, that is a significant achievement, the journey to get there.
Mm.
But what about the day itself? What do you remember about the day itself? How did that go, Senpai Annalise?
To be honest, don't remember a lot of it. I remember I wasn't nervous on the day. All of this anxiety that I'd had leading up to it, it went away. And I think it wasn't until I was standing there with everyone who had shown up to support that I realised that all of the hard stuff that I'd done leading up to it, none of it was, you know, trying to set me up to fail or embarrass me. It was all to show what I knew and that and everyone who was pushing me was doing it out of support. And that didn't really click for me until the day, and I think that helped with my anxiety quite a lot. Yeah, I don't remember a lot of the details of it, but you'll talk to a lot of people who did their black belt grading and they'll tell you the same thing.
Yes.
I remember sparring.
Yes.
I remember bursting into tears, and I remember wanting to give up halfway through, and then actually Senpai Riley stepped onto the floor, and I did some very weak punches, and he went, "Come on, Anna." And that definitely pushed me into my second wind, so thank you for that, Senpai.
No worries.
Yeah, I know. I remember it being a very challenging, very emotional day, but I also remember being very proud and feeling the overwhelming amount of love that there is in that dojo.
Mm. That's amazing. And Senpai Riley, do you recall your grading day?
Nah. I remember a few pinpoints in it, but not a lot. My biggest memory of it was during the sparring. And I just had my head out the window at some stage, took a few rough hits, a kick or something to the stomach, and then in between the fights, stuck my head out the window.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all I remember.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then lying down once I got home.
Yes.
Yeah. And do you remember the lead up? What was the lead up like to your promotion? Do you remember how that was?
Yeah, looking back on it, I feel like the lead up was the hardest part.
Mm.
That could easily be because I don't remember the grading. But the lead up to it always feels like the test.
Yes.
Every time you sort of go into the dojo, you're pushed and in your head, you're making sure you're on top of everything.
Yes.
Because, you know, everyone's watching you in the weeks or months leading up.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of once you get to the actual grading, it's just get out there and you show what you've learned and what you've practiced.
Mm. That's something that I think Seishan Stephen actually might have mentioned to me, and that is, and it's always stuck with me, and that is, you know, when you are grading, you already have graded, and the day is a celebration, and the day is for you to show what you have learned, what you already know, and so go out there and celebrate. And that's something that I've always carried with me, and I've shared with other people who are grading as well, and say, look, you're here grading because you've done it. You just need to go through, follow through, and celebrate with what you know.
I
definitely heard that a lot from quite a few seniors, probably each of the Seishans and Seishan Aaron.
Yes.
But I think the biggest sort of line that stuck with me, and just probably the one that comes back to me the most often, was you've already done the hard work.
Yep.
So, you know, you get out there and my past training's been harder than this. I've done the hard stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's hard too, but it's nothing new.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, and it's funny that you remember the sparring, you know, or like a little bit in the sparring, because that's part of the gradings that I remember as well. Just humble brown belt here, of course, but I think my last sparring was 15 rounds, and just that's enough at that level. And I remember just at the point where you think you've got nothing left, then someone steps up just at the right time, and they're what you need to push on, you know, and they're not there to sort of jump in and go, ha ha, you know, and it's there to lift you up and make sure that you make it on through, which I think is really inspiring.
Yeah, definitely. I remember my shodan grading as a 12-year-old. My last fight was Oko Hanchi.
Yes.
And the fact that he was standing in front of me and we were sparring was a big enough challenge. And then being my 40th fight was the next challenge. And previous to that, I had also sparred my grandfather, who was a sensei in Kyokushin. So that was another experience where I was a little bit like, oh my God. And now they're trying to beat me.
Yes.
You know? That was the challenge, and they weren't, and not at all, they were trying to hurt me at all. They were just trying to challenge me, and that was my challenge with them in front of me. Trying to keep getting up off the floor, because with Eiko Hanchi, I spent the first minute of a minute and 30 fight on the floor. And he'd pick me up and we'd go down and then I'd go down.
Yeah. I will say, though, I think one of my fondest memories from my showdown grading that I remember was Seishun Aaron coming around with that water bottle. I think that is the best water has ever tasted or felt. Magic a little bit on the water. Back of the neck. There's something in it, I swear.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and that's the thing, again, like with someone just at the right moment comes in and spars with you. Yep, someone just at the right moment just gives you a bit of a breather, a bit of a refresher just to keep you going.
I remember a funny story around Naco with that. You probably guys would have heard it about the magic water in the spray bottle. And once he got the bottles mixed up with the water, and then one had water and plant fertilizer in it. So he was busy squirting people with the plant fertilizer, and they were sort of had that funny look on their face like, I really like it, but I don't.
Yeah.
And then he looked, oh, no, that's the wrong one. And he
Now, we've got a tournament coming up. In fact, we've got two tournaments coming up, of course, with the adults tournament. You've both been to tournaments before.
Yep.
What's been your experience in that kind of environment, and where did you go? What did you do?
My first big tournament was quite recently. It was in Wellington, and I remember getting in my own way mentally, basically. I got out on the floor, and I did my kata at, like, 2x speed, and then walked off and went, what did I just do? What have I just done? Yeah, no, I find tournaments still quite nerve-wracking for me, and I know that it's all about, you know, getting out there and having fun and representing your dojo, but I do still find them quite, you know, quite challenging, but always very exciting, you know, leading up to them. Even if I'm not feeling completely mentally prepared, I am still very much, you know, looking forward to them.
Yes.
And it's just something I've got to work on, you know?
Absolutely. Well, it's a different environment than what you used to, right? Every week, you know, we're at the Nelson Dojo doing our thing, doing the kata, doing our moves, and all of a sudden we're put in a different space, and your mind sort of goes, oh, this is a different space. How do I react? What's been your experience, Senpai Riley?
I think it feels like quite a different space to the dojo, even though you're surrounded by, you know, a lot of the same people, even if they're not people you train with, they're people that you might know, or they're just other people like you.
Yes.
But I think I definitely remember feeling quite nervous, or just feeling a bit different at the last tournament, same one in Wellington.
Yeah.
But sort of when I was lined up, ready to go on and do my kata.
Yes.
And you're just sort of in a line with the other people your grade. And I probably knew about half of them or so just from running into them before.
Yep.
And it sort of feels like the same as the dojo, you know? It doesn't feel like a different space anymore.
No.
So you're just standing there chatting, ready to do your kata. Doesn't feel much different once you're actually out there about to do some karate.
Yes.
Which is quite cool.
It's just a different space, right?
Yeah.
Again, I suppose the spirit is the same, right? So the people are there supporting you, and, you know, whether they're from the same dojo or not, I think everyone comes with the same philosophy of having to cheer for the person who's doing the kata and doing the mahi, because they've done all the work, just like yourselves, to get to where you are. They've done all their work to get to the tournament, and now's their chance to shine, to show it off. And just like, I suppose, if you're giving a speech, the challenge is not to speak too fast, and in the same way with the kata or something like that, is just to take your time.
And I think the with these two guys, they're reasonably competitive. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and I know Senpai Riley from, you know, he's got a running battle with another young gentleman in Wellington. Which is fantastic. And, you know, they enjoy that, I'm sure. Obviously want to win. Enjoy that respect and camaraderie that comes with it too, I would imagine, Senpai.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So I suppose one of the biggest memories that you might have from the tournament in Wellington, was it before you went on or after you finished? Sort of, was it the nerves beforehand, or was it, do you remember doing it, you know, at maybe double speed?
That one.
Yeah. So, of course, there is a tournament coming up in October. Have you've both registered?
Us, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Right. So what have you both registered for? What's the... Where can we see you in action?
Whole shebang.
The whole...
All of it.
Tell us what the whole shebang is, Senpai Analyst.
That would be, for me, kata, sparring, and weapons kata. So all three categories.
So tell us about weapons kata. that's something new. What sort of weapon do you use?
A bow.
What's a bow?
This might be a question for Seishan Aaron. I'm not sure if I'm going to explain it eloquently enough.
This one? No, it's just a bow is a 6 foot long staff, piece of timber that.
I would have said a stick.
Yeah, a big stick.
A big stick.
And we get to practice our kata, a different form of kata.
Nice.
With our weapons. And different dan grades or have different kata. Allocated to their specific grade group.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And what do you think is your strongest event, Senpai and Elise?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a lot of room to improve in all of them.
Yes.
I find I enjoy sparring the most. It's somehow the most nerve-wracking one, but it's also the most fun one.
Yes.
And I don't typically do well in it, I would say, but I do enjoy it a lot. And I do find that people from other dojos that I've met at the few tournaments I've been to,
nice.
I've always become closest to the ones that I've sparred with.
Mm.
Because, you know, you're standing there on the mat with the person you're about to fight and you guys are just chatting.
Yes.
And there's very much this sense of like, I hope I win and I also hope you win. And it's very confusing. No, yeah, sparring. Sparring's probably the one I enjoy the most. Wouldn't say it's my strongest, but definitely the one I have the most fun with.
And Senpai Riley, which events have you registered for?
I've registered for all four that I can do. So kata, weapons kata, and then a point sparring and a contact sparring.
Us.
Just since I'm a bit older.
Us.
So all four events.
Yes.
Us.
And what one are you looking forward to most?
I'd say I'm looking forward to the sparring.
Yeah.
It's I mean, it's difficult to say, as you asked before, like this is my best or this is my strongest.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward to the sparring.
And why is that, Senpai?
Don't really know what to expect from it, really. Like when you step up there and do your kata, you know what you're doing.
Yes.
Sequence of moves, there's no one else on the mat that gets in your way. But when you get up there to do the sparring, you have no idea what the other person's gonna do. And I mean, really, you have no idea what you're going to do either. You just have to react or come up with it on the spot. So it's quite a different feeling from just getting up there and going through a kata.
Absolutely.
Which I still love and enjoy it in its own way. But they are quite different. And Simone and Elise said before, you do sort of form a bond with the people that you get up there and fight with. Even if you don't talk to them much or you are talking to them off the mat, you get up there and you go through the round and you remember them once it's done. And it's not something you forget as easily as doing that one kata that you've practiced 1,000 times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a remarkable experience, really, inspiring, right? It's not common, really, outside the dojo or outside the space that where we train, because, of course, we're sort of taught in many ways you shouldn't be doing that. That's not it's not normal or natural. But that's because, maybe my personal feeling is that's because there's not that bond of trust. There's not that shared understanding that you're there, again, to support each other. And it's a learning for both, no matter the outcome.
Yes.
Would you say that's right, Seishan?
I think in any form of contact, even in other sports, you know, if we're looking at other martial arts or boxing or any rugby or anything, as long as you've got that sort of level of contact and you have that respect at the same time,
like
you say, that we're all there to, as a common goal, to have a good time, then that's when the biggest bonds, like the senpais are saying, are created. Because as we've touched on some other interviews, is that those bonds that when you are into the trenches and you're fighting hard, especially like in the contact sparring, which Senpai Riley's in, which is a 2-minute round, and it's basically about who's dominating the other will win the fight. Those fights, when you've left the floor and you're talking about the fight, those are the bonds that you have the most. Because you've been in the trenches. But I think that very much the key of our Sado practice is the respect, like you say, behind all that. And the encouragement and the non-ego. We're just there to go hard, try and win if that's what we want to do.
Absolutely.
But at the end of it, we bow to each other and have a good talk afterwards.
Yeah, it's again another one of the learnings, and basically every time I think we connect through a class or in the dojo or in a tournament, it's about humility. It's about raising up everyone else other than you.
Yeah, and I think that's a good word, actually, Eric, humility. And I think you never hear these guys talk about their results. I mean, these guys are, you know, Riley's a national champion. You know, you don't see by Riley broadcasting to the world that he's a national champion.
Us.
And I never heard that Okahanchi ever say to me or talk to anybody else about, I remember when I led in New Zealand Karate to the world tournament in Japan.
Us.
Never. It was never. It's not what we do. We're humble people.
Us.
We maybe have some results and we celebrate those results, but there's no point broadcasting it to anybody.
Yeah.
There's no point being that ego getting in the road. And I think that's what we do.
Yeah. And I think as well, like Sashan says, you don't necessarily loudly celebrate your own results, but the people in the dojo will do that for you. They'll be very proud of you. And they'll tell everyone about it.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember bragging about Senpai Riley's results after our Wellington tournament. And he kept his mouth shut about it, but I didn't.
And I say to the students, it's like, you've got a week to celebrate and you can be the champion for a week. And then it's just back to training.
Yeah.
So now as we draw this interview to a close, just wondering if either of your senpais could share some, I suppose, wise words from senpais to those karateka listening, karate students, or if someone is thinking about Sato Karate and what is it all about, what would you share with them about what your experience has been to this point?
I have found Sato massively helpful in so many areas of my life, and it is something that I do recommend to a lot of people. I'd say anyone who is either already training and, you know, kind of doubting whether or not it's something they want to continue with, or someone who is looking at it and wondering if it's something they might want to start, pretty simple advice would be really just, like, get in there and do it and commit to it, and you will be very pleasantly surprised by what happens. It's a great community. It is great for you mentally and physically. And like I said earlier on, it gives you something to do and it gives you something to look forward to when maybe other aspects of life aren't looking so shiny. So my biggest piece of advice would be just get off your butt and get into the dojo.
Or Senpai Annalise and Senpai Riley.
I think from my own experience training, you know, starting at such a young age, I think it did really help me as I was growing up, and still to this day just helps me with stuff I do on either a daily basis or even if I don't notice it.
Nice.
I feel like I definitely wouldn't have had the same sort of experience through my childhood as I have with karate.
Nice.
So definitely suggest to parents or whatever that if their kid wants something to do, karate's a great choice. And I've told people before when they've asked me if they should take their kids along.
Yes.
And it actually happens more often than I would have thought.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've also seen a lot of adults start karate while I've been training and watch it improve their lives.
Nice.
So, you know, I can't think of any case where I've seen someone start karate and their lives haven't got better at all. So
I mean, from my own personal experience, I started, I think, when I was about 38, and incredibly challenging to start with, but you have that support from day one, and that's really been a huge shared experience for me, and that's just been hugely elevating. So thank you very, very much to both Senpais Annalise and Senpai Riley for your time today. It's been awesome talking with yourselves. And also, of course, Seishan Aaron, thank you very much.
Yeah, awesome. I'd just like to say to the two Senpais, very proud of you both.
Absolutely. And we always look to our senpais, to our black belts, who've really carved, you know, they've carved the path for all the Q grades. So they're all the coloured belts from white through to brown. And it's always awesome to see you both up there
leading the way.
And it's an inspiration. So, to you both. Us, Seishan. See you back in the dojo.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you're interested in finding out more about Sato Karate, then you can check us out on Facebook. With dojos throughout the region, there's bound to be one near you. See you next time at the Sato Karate On Air Dojo. Us.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.